In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning and Happy New Year. It was really good for me to be away and be with family during the holidays, but it is also really good to be back here and to be with you. And the funny thing about the way we tend to think about the holidays is that we have Christmas just before the end of the year, and then there's New Year's Day, and the time in between has become a kind of downtime, a period for catching our breath, with the first week of the new year being a kind of slow ramping back up. Or maybe it was fast for you, I don't know. However, as we look at the church calendar, we see that Christmas is just the first of a series of feast days, and these can almost be overlooked in the post-present opening coma that comes. So last Sunday was the Feast of the Holy Name, in which we commemorate the public naming of Jesus at his circumcision. The naming with the name provided by the angel who visited Mary. And then on Friday, there was the Feast of the Epiphany, where the church celebrates the star that drew people from other nations to come and worship a new kind of king. And today is the Feast of the Baptism of our Lord, when we celebrate the baptism of Jesus and the accompanying descent of the Spirit and the voice proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God. Therefore, we have in rapid succession a feast that says, a child was born, and this is the one who was promised. Followed by a feast that says, this one with this name is the one announced by an angel as the Savior. Followed by a feast that says, this one announced by the star is the king the nations have been longing for. And then we have a feast that says, this one, this is the beloved Son of God, the one John the Baptist had proclaimed. Over and over again, we gather as a church to say together, this is the one. This is our Savior. This is God in the flesh come to be with us. We gather to celebrate this, and we gather collectively to inquire, and what now? How in this time and this place are we freshly called to respond to the incarnation? Throughout this unfolding season of Epiphany that we are now in, we will be looking together at what the incarnation invites us to see, to know, and to become. So let us turn now to the baptism of Jesus. And to provide some context, earlier in Matthew's gospel, we are told that John appeared in the wilderness with a message saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. It was a call to reorient hearts and minds toward a new kind of kingdom, a kingdom centered around the values of God rather than the values of the dominant empire, or even the once glorious and much mourned kingdom of Israel. It was a call to look at the new thing that was unfolding because God had drawn near in a new way. As John spoke in the middle of nowhere, people came out to hear him, and many responded to him and started confessing sins and seeking to be baptized. At that time, baptism was a ritual practice often associated with a group of Jewish believers known as Essenes. And rituals are a way of externalizing in a public way, something that is happening within. And the ritual of baptism was a way for people to say, I am acknowledging that I have participated in behavior that has turned my heart from God. And now I want to return and live in greater alignment with God. And the community would function as a witness to this shift, acknowledging its importance both to the individual but also to the community. And Jesus stepped into this ritual. We see in today's gospel that John is unsettled by this. He recognizes Jesus as the one whom he has been proclaiming, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Why would God enter a ritual that is about returning to God? Why would God come to John and ask John to baptize God? These are questions I found myself asking this year as I returned to this familiar text that we read year after year after year. Possibly, in doing this, Jesus blesses this kind of practice, showing God's regard for rituals that help us to acknowledge moments of spiritual transformation. Certainly, ever since people followed Jesus, there has been the practice of baptism. As the church emerged and formalized its practices, baptism became one of its crucial sacraments. But this is not what Jesus tells John. He merely says, "Let it be so now, for it is good for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Or, put more succinctly, God is up to something. Let us now be part of what God is doing. And it is only in what follows that we better understand what God is up to. Jesus comes up from the water. And for a moment, there is no distinction between heaven and earth. The eternal and the material are met together. The Spirit descends like a dove, and there is a voice that says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." God with us enters this ritual. And those who witness the baptism of Jesus also witness the anointing of the Spirit and the voice of the Father naming Jesus Son and Beloved. In Matthew's gospel, this is the moment in which Jesus moves out of anonymity and into public engagement. The miraculous birth happened. The wise men came looking for him. Herod initiated the slaughter of innocent children, and Jesus disappeared with his parents into Egypt to emerge in Nazareth some time later, but without any fanfare. Now, at the River of Jordan, his story picks back up, and the Messiah begins his ministry. He begins his ministry by stepping into the very same water as those who confess their felt distance from God. He begins his ministry by stepping into the very same water as those who long to be close to God once again. He begins his ministry by stepping into the same water as those who long for the coming of heaven, for the coming of justice and peace. He joins those who feel distant, who long for closeness, who long for a way of life that manifests an alternative to the systems of power and exploitation. God became flesh and then entered the water we go to when we long to be cleansed. God does not shy away from the places of our shame or our longing for renewal. God goes straight into those places with us and shows us that we are not, after all, alone. God is with us. And in the things that happen over the water, God proclaims that not only are we not alone, but that something else is also possible. The things given to Jesus are also given to us. The Spirit of God, and a proclamation that we are God's beloved children. These things become possible through Jesus, the one baptized in the water of a confessing people. I hope that gives you chills, because it is something that I find electrifying. Jesus enters the water, and ever since then, people have entered the water to receive what Jesus received. The same blessing comes to us. I actually believe that. In the sacrament of baptism, we proclaim over the one who is baptized, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." And then, moments later, we say, "We receive you into the household of God." In baptism, we practice the healing work of repentance, or reorientation toward the kingdom of heaven. We enter a thin place where earth and heaven come together, which we will learn over a lifetime is a kind of mystery that is always available to us if we can learn to trust that the divine is already woven into all created things. And finally, in baptism, we enter the pleasure of God. The pleasure that God takes in us. Yes, there is a confession of sin and a joining with Jesus in the symbolic death and resurrection, but there is also a yielding to our identity as children of God, and to the acceptance of God's great pleasure in being in relationship with us. In a few moments, we will renew our baptismal vows to God, and water will fall on your heads as I or as Joe say the words, "Remember your baptism." And today, when we do that, I hope that some part of you reconnects to the awareness that you are beloved of God, that God takes great pleasure in you, and that the Spirit of God is alive within you. Through the incarnation, Jesus stepped into the very water we enter, the water of regret and longing and hope. As a result, something amazing now happens within a ritual, a sacrament that we practice as a church. God gets into the water with us, and we are forever connected to God, enfolded in the pleasure of God, lit up from within by the Spirit of God. Let us remember our baptism. And may that draw us ever deeper into manifesting the kingdom of heaven here and now in our time.